Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It's Leona Abraham Brando, host of Blog Talk Radio. We have on with us again this week Andy Williams Jr., presidential candidate for We the People Party, and he is going to be talking about what he's been up to, what he's doing with all of this, and he's going to give us some updates. So I want everyone to listen in and feel free to call in. Hold on a second. Okay. Feel free to call in. The number is 657-383-1630. Again, it's 657-383-1630. We've been delaying a lot of the shows recently because we've had a lot of problems with the studio itself, the radio show, and the administrators have been trying to work on it. So we now are back on track for a while, and let's hope and pray it stays on this way. But again, let's welcome our guest, Andy Williams Jr. Once again, thank you for being on with us, Andy. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. How are you?
Good, very good. So we have a caller too, and I want to bring him in. I believe it is, okay, caller 605, you want to state your name?
William.
Okay, William, I will call on you in a few minutes. Let's have Andy introduce himself once again to the audience and let the audience know what is going on with the events that he's doing, and then we can have you speak up as well. Okay, Andy, please.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ms. Leon.
Please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what led you to decide to do all of this, because I know a lot of us are frustrated right now with the way this country is running, and there's so much going on, and it's so dysfunctional and divided. So I know that a lot of people want to see change. And then you came on, and you started talking about your position and how you felt, and I just want you to explain to the audience exactly, you know, what you think about all this and what brought you to this.
Right. The division, the chaos going in across this country right now is a very simple fix. And each elected official has a job description that is given to them in the Constitution. And once the people start doing that job description, honoring their oath, and whenever that oath is violated, they are held accountable to that by the people, then we'll see this country get, you know, run the way it's supposed to be ran. Because the role of government is very limited. It's very limited. And its only position is to pretty much protect the rights of the people and their property. What has happened is now that these elected officials are the ones that are hurting the people and their property. They're taking it from civil asset forfeiture, from forcing the people to pay taxes, to so many, the list can go on and on and on down. And I realized after coming to the place where I'm at today is that I could be the difference. As I was sharing with one of the brothers in Georgia, most candidates are running saying they're going to create a change. I'm in this position because I've changed. It was me that changed. It was me that saw the hope. And I know there's not any candidate anywhere that can represent my interests better than me. Not one. And primarily focusing on prisoners' rights, no candidate that we hear at any point and moment right now is discussing about prisoners' rights and how this whole system has turned into legalized slavery. It's a billion-dollar industry of locking people up. That's legalized slavery. Slavery never ended, it just evolved. So I'm coming from an abolitionist standpoint of abolishing modern-day slavery in all forms. How I got to this position? Because I'm fed up. I'm fed up of all of us talking about the problem, but very few getting in the ring to do something about it. And that's where we stand. And I always say, this is a campaign. It's a real campaign, but it's more of a movement by the people, for the people, because I'm one of the people. And when we become aware of our rights and how to enforce them as people, we'll see the change that we need to see in this country. Because the change is not going to happen based on who you elect. The change is going to happen because we, the people, use the power that we have, and we change. It's us. It's all coming back to us. And when we, what we're doing right now in our campaign is organizing the states and different people to go in so the county jails and the prisons and let them know that there's an actual candidate that's running for them to register to vote, and then that gets me onto the ballot for the we're primarily focused on 31 states. So right now we're just focusing on ballot access, primarily through the jail, because anybody that's locked up in a county jail has the right to vote, whether it be through an absentee ballot or whatever. They have a right to vote that's protected by the 15th Amendment. So, you know, some of these ballot access is nothing but like 3,000 people that you need to get on the ballot. Some 25,000, you know, just depends on what state, but most of the numbers come straight for those that are advocating for the formerly incarcerated people's rights and those that are incarcerated, or as we like to say, in prison. So we're just focusing on the ballot access. We've revamped our website. It's almost done by the end of this week, which is andywilliamsjr.com or awj2024.com. It gives out a way better structure of the platform, what we're doing, speaking engagements, which we'll be doing. It's called State of America, and it'll be our virtual town hall that each week we're going to pick a topic and spend like 15 minutes casting that vision starting in May. So that's where we're at.
Thank you so much, Andy. You know something, a lot of times when somebody was to, if somebody was to do what you're doing, and I'm sure people have probably said that about you when you first started out, this, you know, he must be crazy. What does he think he's going to do? But what you're doing is actually, you're challenging the people of America. You know, we listen to these politicians all the time saying we're fighting for the American people. But I haven't seen anybody fighting for the American people. I've seen them fighting against one another, you know, trying to bring the other one down, trying to do better than the other one. But you, and it's amazing that no other people, or not too many other people have come out, you know, to try to do something like what you're doing. In your case, you're talking about bringing the people of the country together to make change, not just controlling them or controlling what goes on around them or what goes on with them, but you're actually trying to get them motivated to do something about their own country. And I admire you for that. And I think it's something that we all need to do. We all need to start looking at how can we be a part of the changes in our own country that we're constantly complaining about. And this is not happening. People complain amongst themselves. They talk amongst themselves. But to actually get motivated to do something, you are a motivator because people are interested in what you're doing, and they want to be a part of it.
I was able to get Guy, a writer, and they are about to do a whole story about me, and from there it turns into a book deal called Journey to Freedom, A True American Story. And that's going to lay out, you know, here who I am, my background, and then from there we're doing our Vision for America, and just giving out the blueprint now. Like, here's where we're at. We're taking this, you know, full force. We got a straight shot on where we're headed at. I'm not really big on the division part between the politics or the policy, but there is something that I think is very important, primarily what Donald Trump has said, and I didn't hear him say it with my own two ears because the video was cut off. But he had promised to indemnify all police officers and law enforcement so they cannot be prosecuted for using excessive force against the people. That right there in its own self aligns with why he's trying to say he wants immunity, and all presidents or whatever should have immunity. That is a condition of slavery. Whenever you can do something to somebody, specifically law enforcement or police officers, can use excessive force, and then you get immunity, That is a form of slavery, and that is not what this country needs. That is not what this world needs at all. Zero zilch, nothing, no, at all. And when it comes to Biden, because people ask, first of all, he's too old. He's unqualified, and specifically when we're dealing with the Prisoners Matters movement, that 1994 crime bill had a direct impact, direct and indirect impact, on the increase of mass incarceration and enslavement in our own communities, because the incentives that were offered, if you did this, if you did that, if you bring this unit up into your city or state, will give you federal funds. That is legalized slavery, that you are paying these municipalities to infringe and deprive the people on their rights. If we're working on getting that whole 1994 crime bill repealed, these draconian sentences is legalized slavery, and everybody that is locked up, and I 100% I'm saying this. I don't want to say 100%. I'm going to say the majority of people that are locked up are in there unconstitutionally. And the reason why is because each one of the states across the United States have turned into corporations. They're no longer sovereign states. Each one of them have a Dun & Bradstreet number. Each one of them are making money off of locking the people up. You cannot be a neutral arbitrator. That is a conflict of interest for you to get paid based on the revenue that's being generated by people being locked up. Now, what I will say is under the common law, people that have harmed themselves or their neighbor or their property, there's an accountability in that realm. So I'm not saying release all the prisoners. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is anybody that's locked up for possession of drugs or a firearm where there was not an actual crime against people or their property committed, that's an unconstitutional imprisonment. It's legalized slavery, and those are the captives that we're looking to set free. That will reduce the prison population by 60%, and based on the green-collar jobs, the green-collar economy that was laid out in Van Jones' book, as well as the Department of Corrections Michigan prison bill program that shows them how to use vocational, as well as the model with Homeboy Industries that's out of California. Those that will be released from these institutions will be coming into our communities with vocational training, healing, and entrepreneurship so that we can rebuild our and revitalize our neighborhood, which most of these individuals are coming back home to impoverished neighborhoods. So now we get to rebuild our own communities with those that were part of destroying it. Again, when you're selling drugs in your own community and not using them for the natural resource that they were created for, we are part of the problem. We're part of destroying our community. And that's the blueprint that we have to restore America, to bring America back to the founding where there was morals, values, principles. We cared about our neighbors because we knew our neighbors. I'm not saying that by electing me, this is what's going to happen. I'm saying regardless, elected or not, we the people have the power to make this happen. It's not conditioned on the vote, but I will represent that healing, that freedom, and that hope.
Amen. Amen. You know, I just hope and pray that people will wake up and start looking at a lot of these things that are happening. You know, we have a tendency, even I sometimes have a tendency to ignore certain things and just say, you know, we can't fight it, we can't change it. But it's not true, because we can change. And they say success in numbers. So these are some of the things that are very, very important for everyone to understand and to try to. Now, you said something about needing so many votes to be on a ballot. Now, how would people go about putting someone on a ballot like that? How would they go? Because I'm not familiar with those type of things.
So there's petitions that they use to say you need, you know, for one state, you might need 1,000 signatures to get on the ballot. But there's time. It's, you know, there's certain months that they allow independents to do that. So our strategy is to which we already are doing, the organizing. We came through Michigan, got a good team out there. There's an Illinois good team out here, and we're only focusing on the county jails right now. And what we do is we go, our teams will go in and set up events at the county jails to get those that are detained registered to vote, and then we'll get them to sign the petition to get me on the ballot. So between
now,
that and the faith space.
What about the people, though, in the communities? See, right now, I would like to sign on, and other people, I'm sure, have mentioned it, too. But how do we go about it?
So what? Well, one way is the next time I'm on the show, what I can say now, it'll be on our website to say, hey, in this state, we need these many, sign the volunteer for this, you know, which the only thing we're volunteering right now for is petitioning, you know, like if you're in this state, you know, the petitions will start on this month, you know, on this date. So then we begin to organize the states around that. Because what I was saying is there's so many people with organizations that are part of organizations that want to change the way that the formerly incarcerated people are. So by becoming a part of We Are the People, our ministry with what we do, then that is where we're using that to go into the jails. And so that allows people to say, you know what, well, we can volunteer with this ministry, because We Are the People is not a party, it's a ministry. We say it's a party because we like the party, but we're really a ministry, and we're ministering to the peoples of their needs and their rights.
Okay, so again, change.org, that people are write up petitions all the time on change.org. Say, this is just an example. But say you had a petition out on change.org that was circulated throughout the country, and people were signing on to it as a support or a vote for you to become to be on the ballot, something like that. That's what I'm saying. I understand what you're trying to do with the incarcerated, because so many people incarcerated around the country are trying to get their voting rights back. You know, Maine never took it away from the incarcerated. Vermont or New Hampshire never took it away from the incarcerated. But so many people incarcerated have lost their right to vote. And I don't think they should lose their right to vote if they have done nothing to their country. Well, we have people who, like the January 6th insurrection, who have actually done something to their country, and they didn't, as far as I know, they never lost their rights to vote. So it's kind of like a backwards thing that's happening in this country. But have you thought about a petition with change.org, or, as you said, you're going to be putting it up on your website, but when that happens, can you just let everybody know so we know if people are going to be part of this ministry or this movement, then they need to be able to know what they can do and what is expected of them and how they can get involved. And we hear what
right.
are trying to do, but we don't hear exactly where to go or how to go about it or what to do. And this is what we want to be able to promote right now.
So we do have a We Are the People page on LinkedIn that we use. That talks about the prisoners' voting rights. And there is a petition on change.org about prisoners' voting rights. I think we're at like 600 signatures right now. It's been circulating for months. And that's why I say it has to go to the website, because then it's one place that everybody can get this information on. But we've been doing this prisoners' voting rights at least for the last 3.5 months.
And it's AWJ. I'm sorry.
2024.
It's AWJ2024.com. Yep. AWJ2024.com.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, we can on that website to sign on or to put in our vote.
Can you say what? So
we
the,
can actually
the
just go on that.
About, people to volunteer. And so what we're volunteering, like you can go to the website and say, hey, I want to volunteer for this area, then they sign up and then we get it and then somebody reaches back out to them. But like I said, the one thing that we're focusing on right now is just volunteering to get on the ballot in the states.
Okay, volunteering to get on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Because people got to volunteer to help with the petition to say, hey, listen, if you know, you want to say, listen, I want to do ballot access, you know, in Massachusetts. Well, we say, hey, this is the date that it starts. You know, here's somebody that's in Massachusetts that we got that is our state representative, you know, for the Williams for President campaign. And this is the what we need. This is how we're doing it. So, yeah, you can go to the churches. You can go to the communities. You can go to your work. We're saying, though, we're focusing on the prison, the people in the jail, because they're all in one place. So instead of having to go all about and do that, no, they're all in one place. And the Bible says in Psalm 148, I think it is, 146, verse 7, about the Lord sets the prisoners free, or Hebrews something, it says, visit those that are in prison as you were once with them. So I'm getting some real solid instructions from the scriptures on what I need to do to make this happen. You know, if you say, well, Andy, what really led you to call this? This is, I felt, I mean, God, this was an assignment. I was born for this. That's exactly what it is. So I'm getting instructions from the Creator on how to operate this. And all throughout the scriptures in the New Testament, so many of those men have been locked up in prison. And it's no different now. But who's going in there to visit them, to set them free? It's one thing to visit somebody in prison, but who's setting them free? Who has that solid blueprint that's saying, you know what, I hear you, Lord. We will do this. We will do the work to set those captives free. And I am not, again, I just wanted to be clear, because we, as a society, those that believe that locking people up makes your community safe, the statistics don't show that. But what we're saying is those who have been locked up primarily for possession charges, for the war on drugs or the war on poverty, locking somebody up because they can't afford the fines or fees, those are the ones that we're saying are going to be released. But even with that, they're being released to a community that has solutions. We're not just saying you get to come home and then you figure it out on your own, because we know America as a country is good for that. Those that go to the war, they come back and get no benefit. So we know America ain't going to do nothing about that. The government is not going to do nothing about that, because they have a pattern in history of doing it for the veterans. So we, the people, we're going to put that together. And that's why I begin to lean on my NGOs, non-government organizations, the faith-based organizations, those that are elected officials that sign on the Fair Sentencing Act or the Clean Slate Bill, anyone that's around prisoner advocacy or an abolitionist, those are the ones that we're looking, you know, to align with and getting to ensure that when people come home, they're not coming back to an environment where they cannot thrive. We already have the models out here, like I said. Homeboy Industries, the biggest gang intervention and prison reentry in the world. They have a model blueprint. The Department of Corrections Michigan Prison Bill, they have a blueprint for vocational training. The recidivism rate has went down. North Dakota, they have a model on how to treat people when they're incarcerated. That's a model. They modeled that after the Norway model. These models exist in the state. The mindset of the people has not been renewed. And that's where, when again, yes, I want to be elected, but the work that we're doing is not on the condition of being elected. That's what separates our campaign from the other campaign. We're not dangling the vote in front of people to say, if you vote for me, this is what I'm doing. We're saying we're enlarging our territory now. We're doing this. And if you hire me in this position or elect me, whichever way you want to, that will just give us that much access to more resources to finally deal with the root of this, which is legalized slavery. I'm not going to stray away from that, because we're all enslaved in our communities one way or another. one way. They're taking taxes out of your check. That's a form of slavery. You got to pay a sticker on your vehicle license every year. That's a form of slavery. You're being taxed at the grocery store, taxed at your check, taxed at the school, taxed when you buy a car. That's all a form of slavery, involuntary servitude. You are working for the government instead of the government working for you. And the question always says, well, how do we get sustain our communities? With bonds. That's how.
You know, the United States of America has so many different cultures. And again, when I talk about cultures, I don't mean just races. I mean cultures. We have the cultures of the poor. We have the cultures of the middle class. We have the cultures of the wealthy. And a lot of these, and then we have the cultures of races too. And then we have the cultures of incarcerated. We have the cultures of the conservatives out there, the cultures of people that are think that they're too good to help those who are less fortunate than them. So what I'm trying to say is when we talk about these things, I just want to remind you as well as myself and others that there's going to be a lot of oppression, and there's going to be people that are not going to be focusing on some of the same issues that you're talking about. So how would you get people to come together on a lot of these when you're going to be facing oppression from a lot of people too? So this is why I try to understand when it comes to the votes that you need, is that a priority or it's not a priority? Because what I'm trying to do is let people know how they can vote for you. If you have an area on your website where they can just go on and sign on, if you have a petition with change.org, how they can vote. Now, when you mention you're focusing on volunteers right now to get these votes, that's good to do, but at the same time, you have people waiting to sign on to vote already. So how do they go about these things, or is it not important at all?
It is, and currently on my Hood Candidate website, it shows everybody how to register to vote. Like, it's all set up there already. And it's just a matter of us getting the word out, because I think a lot of times what happens... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what a lot of times happens, and this is why I say the people have to begin to realize that they have the power. Because when somebody's running for president, they're like, well, you got all the answers. And if the information is not being disseminated to the public, an individual can only do so much. I can only say, hey, if you go to this website, it's there. But specifically when it comes to registering to vote, every single state has organizations that sign up people to vote, whether it's the NAACP, the ACLU, Vote Matters, there is so many organizations that are set up to help people register to vote. So many events. What I feel that needs to be the most important is going onto the least of these, those that are being rejected all the time. Because focusing on the prisoners by being the only candidate that does that, because it's zoomed in on the real focus, then people get to see the rest of the stuff that I'm doing. That's the difference. It's not that I'm just saying, oh, prisoners matter, that's the only campaign. No, what I'm saying, that is the focus, because that has been the overlooked population since who knows when. It's just that group of people, rights are being violated every single day. There are suicides in prison. There are murders in prison. The food that are being fed to the people in prison is incomprehensible. You wouldn't feed it to your dog. And the reason why people, well, that's what they deserve. Nobody deserves to be treated that way. Nobody. But let's remove those that don't belong there, and then watch how we reduce that prison population. And now we're looking at 300 to 400 people in there. And now we got a different, you know, scenario. Now the real services that are needed are able to be given to the people. But that's a big heat because now we're attacking the financial piece of the prison. You stop.
Okay.
I understand
right now, especially when it comes to prison. I'm a definite prisoner. I'm a prisoner advocate, you know, and I know all the things that go on in the prisons. And yes, voting rights for prisoners need to be restored. They really do need to be restored. That, you know, no one, a citizen of the United States, should not have their rights stripped. You know, they talk about these women with their abortions and everything. That's up to the women, because that's between the woman and God. You know, they talk about the way children nowadays have to wear their hair. According to what? According to the white man? According to the black man? These are things that are none of our business. But the way they wear their hair has nothing to do with their actions in school or the way they want to learn. Neither does women. We don't have any business getting involved in anybody else's business. So I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, I need to know how people can sign on with you. And you said it's on your website. I've looked on your website, and I don't see, it says join, but I don't see where there's anything about the, you know, vote for Andy Williams Jr., because he's about these things. And you have the issues that you're working on your website. It tells you're working on a lot of really good, important things. But at the same time, people joining is one thing, but how do they vote, or how do they support you in other ways? Like you mentioned getting on a ballot. Is that something that you have to do? And if it's not, just let us know. If it's something that you have to do or have to have our votes on the ballot, then let us know where we can go to do it, because I don't see it on the website.
Okay. I did say the website will be completed by this Friday with the other stuff. But if somebody wanted to join the 18, that button says, join the 18, tell us what you want to be involved in. So again, that's why my focus is so much focused on those that are currently and formerly incarcerated. It's an easier audience. They're already organized. It's just a lot easier for me to deal with that, because everybody's going to be asking all these questions, how to do this, what is this, and we don't have those resources to back a campaign like that up. Everybody knows we don't have a Democrat or a Republican war chest. So to kind of like compete with that, that's not realistic. It's not. We're not bringing in donations. I probably would have raised close to $570. Everything else has been self-funded, and I never complain about that. I just know I'm working with the anointing that God has given me to move this forward, and I know if I follow those instructions in that Bible about visiting those in prison, doing exactly what that says, God will have his way through this campaign. It will work, because it's already working. It's already working.
Well, I agree with you that things need to be done. And God does, sometimes he does anoint us and has a plan for us to do something. And that plan usually comes along with preparation and giving us wisdom on. I've been doing sermons. I don't know if you knew it, but I do sermons on Sundays. And before I do the sermons on Sunday, I go through the Bible and I pull out the scriptures and the particular areas that I want to focus on. And that way, when I talk about these things, I talk about it with the backing. And so right now, what you're doing is an awesome thing. I think it's still kind of confusing for us to know how we can support you other than volunteering. I did mention before, I believe when you were on the show before, about maybe trying to recruit volunteers from the universities around the country and maybe going on volunteermatch.com and, you know, posting for volunteers in certain areas, maybe connecting with different churches around the country, because there's a lot of people that are in the churches that are in the ministry that would probably love to, you know, network with you. And also, I wanted to mention the International Network of Prison Ministries, because that's one of the areas that you're really focused on. So they have an international network of prison ministries, which would be good if you could get Andy Williams Jr., you know, prison ministry included with all the others, and then start networking with all of them as well. This is what I did when I started New Vision Organization. So these are some of the things that I wanted to bring up. But in the meantime, I want to call a 440. You want to state your name, please?
It's Andy. Hi,
okay.
Andy. Hi, Leona.
Hi, Andy. You want to, you have anything you want to add to what we've been talking about, or are you just coming on?
Sure.
And...
You said something to Andy just a minute ago, which is a great idea. I attend Bryan University and for paralegal and litigation studies. And if you want, send me, I used to have all of your information, Andy, but if you can send me your information again or give me your website, or if you would like to be a guest speaker even at the school via Zoom, we'd be happy to have
I
you.
I would. And if you send me your address, I'll send you the flyers. I've been sending out flyers across the state lately, specifically about what I'm doing with the prison ministry work, with our campaign, and so far it's been working.
This is another thing I wanted to add real quickly, Andy. You mentioned the flyers. If you were to email a flyer or even post it on Facebook, on a Facebook page, we can get that circulated to go viral. You know, it doesn't even take having to snail mail. You can email it or you can just post it on Facebook under the feed, Facebook feed. It will go all over to everyone. This is what I'm trying to emphasize is get it out there. And once the paperwork or the flyers or whatever's out there, let's get Andy Williams known globally. Because if you go global, you're bound to reach the United States of America, which should have been reaching you a long time ago. But these are some of the things that you're doing. What you're doing is so fantastic, and it's awesome. But we need to get this out to everybody. Flyers, circulate flyers on Facebook. Anything that you do, anytime you come up with anything, put it on my Facebook page or just put it on Facebook feed so we can get it out there.
I got you, Miss Andy, and I mean, Miss Leona, I do that. I'm just telling you. So what you're saying, maybe it don't come across your feed. We don't control Facebook. But I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I have done all of these things, and I've done everything.
I belong to 42 groups on Facebook, and not one of them. I have never seen anything on Facebook about your whole plan or whatever. This is why I'm saying I'm all over Facebook myself. And right now, the only thing I ever see on Facebook is when we do these interviews and I post it on Facebook about you being on the show, your interview. But other than that, like I say, get it out to us and we'll make sure it gets circulated so that everybody will see it.
Okay.
We want you to be known globally. And like I used to tell, let me tell you, I had a brother, my youngest brother. He always seemed to fail at everything he tried to do. And I told him one time, reach for the sky, reach for the heavens. And even if you only get halfway there, you're getting further than you have been getting up to now. So reach for the sky and see what happens.
Oh, I'm reaching. I am definitely reaching.
Again, I think what you're doing is awesome, and this is something that we all need to start looking at. And as Andy said, you know, help get, you know, give her the information, let her get it out too. But what you're doing is something that we, the people of this country, need to start doing, because everybody's almost like lackadaisic. They're almost like zombies. You know, they know things are not right, but they're falling right in place with it. You know, they're going along with it. We don't need to go along with anything that we know is not right. And I say this is a spiritual battle. And these evil spirits and good spirits, they're working within the bodies. And so we'll be able to see, just like the Christ Jesus said, they'll be able to see you, him in you, and what you're doing.
Right. I'm with it.
Okay,
yeah, so
Getting back to the votes. If you need the votes, is there any way you can put on your website something that people can just go on and sign and say, Andy, we're with you? You know, somewhere, something where people can go on and vote, or a survey that you can get on your website so that people can go on and do a survey. The votes are most important, because to win over the people of the country, if you have a thing on your website where people can just go on and maybe sign their names and saying, I'm with you, you know, or I want to be able to support you, or something, or even to vote.
Well, we don't vote yet, so I don't do the vote part yet. But I definitely have people go on to sign up to, you know, join the A-team, as we call it. Join the A-team.
Another thing that would be good, too, is letting when you're putting on your website for volunteers, you know, you might want to include what you're looking for volunteers to do.
So when you go to the Join the A-team, it says that I'm interested in canvassing, door knocking, event, make phone calls, other. It's there. It says it on Join the A-team. Sign up to volunteer.
Okay, great. I think what you're doing is awesome, and I hope it's successful, because we need change in this country. We really, really need change in this country. Everybody's going
off
in the direction.
You've got the state in there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're still updating it, but he's got the state in there. Like, the guy is really doing it. He's putting it together. It's still some minor things that's gotta be, you know, changed, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing. I love it.
Did I hear something with the voting in jail?
Yeah, we're gonna be doing a suit about prisoners' voting rights and the formerly incarcerated voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, we'll prevail on the formerly incarcerated voting rights. We're going to win. Because when Donald Trump got kicked off the ballot, the Supreme Court said there's a difference between the federal election and the state election.
Uh-huh.
They're not the same. So the state cannot infringe upon the people's right to vote in a federal election. So that is going to prevail on. I'm excited about that. So my national voting rights guy, he just got a grant for something for that.
Awesome.
So he's going to be sending it, you know, putting some funds in there. Because, besides my campaign, I'm a full-time advocate. And that's what is so unique about our campaign, is we don't have such a vote for me, this is what I'm going to do. We're not waiting. We're doing it now. We're making the move now. We're involved in cases now. We're involved in the freedom, which is our inalienable rights now.
Right.
And that's why it's different. But after 60 years, I was with a group today, Vote Common Good, a bunch of religious people coming together. They support all Democrats, which was fine. But what we were discussing is that, so for the last 60 years, what can we point to and see has really been done for the people?
Right.
Out of 60 years for voting, out of 60 years of voting, please tell me directly where you've been benefited as a people by casting a vote.
Silence.
That's what I thought. But if we the people took our power and said, we the people are going to do this, that's what's going to change the game. The people say, we don't got to vote for it to change. All we got to do is change. And that's the message that I'm pushing the most power, the most good. We are the change, because we are the people.
Mm.
And watch what happens then. Watch what happens. They could elect anybody they want to, and the people going to be like, we still want Andy. Period. I've been had several people tell me to get behind Trump, and I said, why would I do that? You're looking for the one that's the most popular. I'm looking for the one that's most right.
Right.
It's not a popularity contest for me. This is about the people's rights.
I think once your website is up, you know, fully and you have everything on it, it might be helpful. But right now, it's with the website that's up, it's not. I'm not even able to click on some of the links. So I think that's probably why I'm still trying to question some of these things, because I'm not able to get the full, you know, brunt of everything that you're doing. But again, I think it's excellent that you're doing these things, and it's something that we should all consider doing or getting involved in, is making a change in our country.
I think it's really a good idea. It would be great to call the jails and see which ones support offenders voting, because it's different in states. Because I was just looking here at Legal Defense Fund, Alabama State Conference, NAACP. They're fighting with Alabama because they're trying to pass Senate Bill 1, which restricts basic constitutional amendment rights. It obliterates freedom of speech. It marginalizes voters' access to the ballot box, and people would get penalized just for helping people get absentee ballots. This is in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Florida, I don't know if it's still like this, but they were setting up in the jails. They were mailing like absentee ballots or some type of ballots. They were able to vote from jail, which is great. And there was a state, I forgot which state it was, but it went from their state was like 6% only voted. But when they brought it to the jails, it went up to 37%.
Wow. You know, I think it was Brian Winters. And Brian Winters, he was a former New Hampshire state legislator, and he started a nonpartisan super PAC. Now, Brian, having American Union, is the perfect person to connect with Andy, because when he started American Union, he's doing basically the same thing, something similar to what you're doing, but his organization is his thing is mass incarceration. That's one of his causes. And if there's a legislative party that's for reducing mass incarceration, then Brian and his organization will support that party. And so basically what he's doing is the same thing. If these people are trying to make a change in the country, then support those people in what they're doing. And Maine and Vermont or New Hampshire is two states that never took away the right to citizens to vote. Again, I'm going to say this. And this is why coming together with people like that, advocates like that, is just what you want to do. Those are the right advocates that they're looking at this, mutual agreement to a lot of the things that you're talking about. And so coming together like that, building your network, and then putting these people on your website as well, as partnering, you know, in a lot of these areas that you're doing, and start letting people see those who are working together for the people and including the people, then maybe a lot more people would be joining too.
Right.
But again, I wanna thank you for coming on and the work that you're doing, and whatever you want the people to know right now, just let them know.
Well, just go to my website, awj2024.com. Sign up at the Join the 18. That's what we can do right now. And whatever position anybody feels they can participate in, let us know.
Yeah. So, again, reaching out to volunteers. There's a lot of students that are going to school for political science, and they're majoring in political science. And those students would probably love to be able to do some volunteer work with you. As I tell people all the time, a lot of these students in the universities, they want the experience. They want to do their internships. A lot of them have relatives that have been affected by the penal system, the criminal justice arena. So there's a lot of them that want to do volunteer work, but they're not going to reach out to people that are trying to do these things. It's up to the people that are trying to do these things to promote them or to recruit them. And unless you're reaching out to these different people, these different organizations, these different universities, this is not going to happen.
Right, and I kind of feel like you're saying you want to reach out to them.
You know, I'll tell you the truth.
Go ahead.
If I had the time, I would help in these areas, but I, with my organization, with the radio and everything else, I just don't have that ability to do it. But like I said, make some calls when you have time and just call these universities and let them know that you're calling to give these students an opportunity to do some volunteer work with your campaign and to get the experience and to do their internships. Let them know. Post it on Facebook, too. Post on Facebook the areas that you're looking for volunteers in. And like I say, just send it out to whomever you know and let us from there get it out there viral.
Okay.
You can get the volunteers. You just need to let them know exactly what you want them to do and then post it. Like you say, you're on Twitter and all of those social media. I don't deal with Instagram, and I rarely go on Twitter, but I know that a lot of things that are posted on Facebook, they get out there. I not only post them, but I also share, and I ask others to share. And this is what we have to do.
Right.
So we have 7 minutes left. If you want to say anything more about your mission and about your site.
Yeah,
we
just
do
if people go to my site, you can make a donation there, you can sign up. That's the easiest thing that I can do.
And as you mentioned, the problems we have in this country, it's sad that we have so many problems, but people from other countries that have even been on the show have talked about the problems in the United States that they see, the issues they see. And they see this mass incarceration as being unnecessary. They see racism in this country as being really, really, really serious. And they see vengeance and retaliation and a lot of these other things that are going on in this country. They see that as a major problem. And again, they were going to come on to talk about ways that they could have either virtual or in-person conventions once a year or once every few years, inviting the legislative members and people from the United States to join so they can talk about ways that they can help this country to be able to reduce mass incarceration, to be able to come up with some programs that will be successful in this country and that will make the United States penal system and communities to look more humane and to be more humane than it is. These are people from other countries. So that should tell us something about what we need to do in America.
Yeah.
We really need to. And I'm sure, Andy, that you know about these things, and I'm sure that these are some of the issues you're looking at as well and what you talk about with your movement. And again, I think what you're doing is God is using you. He's using you to try to motivate people as well to also do something, because as you mentioned earlier, let my people go, let my people free. That's one of the things, is let the captives free. God said himself, let my captives free. And so we have a lot of things that need to be changed in this country, and people that are suffering in these dungeons that they put them in and treat them inhumane.
Right.
These are serious issues. So I'll let you get back to what you were saying. I'm sorry I kept interrupting so much, but...
No. I wasn't saying nothing. Thank you for those that are listening, called in. Please feel free to go to my website, sign up, send me a message where you can help at. If you know somebody, I'm connected to, there's a Million Women's March that's happening in May. I think it's May 10th, May 11th in Washington, D.C. I haven't confirmed if I'm going, but I'm working with that group of organizations, that organization right now, what they're doing. So we are definitely across the states right now putting in the real work, you know. And I know as much as people sometimes want to say, well, we want to see you. I'm of the mindset that when you're busy doing your work, the fruit will show. The fruit will show. When we plant a seed in the ground, we don't see the apple tree, the apples, until it's time for the harvest to come. And that's where we're at right now. Our seeds are being planted, they're being watered, and we're doing the work. That's just the truth. We're just doing the work.
Now, the Million Women's March, is that the same one they had in Pennsylvania so many years ago?
I'm not sure. I just got on the call with them Sunday.
Oh, okay. I remember the Million Women's March so many years ago. It was right after, I believe, it was the Million Man March. But, you know, getting a million people together for justice in the United States and for changes, positive changes, that would be a miraculous thing. And I believe we have a God of miracles. So I am fully interested in what you're doing, and I'm proud of you, Andy, for taking it upon yourself to do something like this. And I hope and pray that God is guiding you and that he can bring people together to work with you on your goals, on your mission. Anything that we can do to get it out there to promote and recruit, whatever we can do, whatever flyers you put together, whatever information you want to get out there, please send it to us, put it on our Facebook pages, and let us share what your mission is, because what your success is our success, and the success of many others that are behind those prison walls or in the streets, those that are homeless, those that are really suffering out there. You are for the people, and you are for the people, the poor and the average citizens, not the wealthy, as it seems to be these days.
Right. Right.
So, audience, you have been listening to Andy Williams Jr., and I was going to be closing down in a couple of minutes, and I'd like to ask Andy to give a few last words to you, the audience. And again, please contact him. If he has, you do have your contact information on your website, right, Andy?
Yes. Not the address, but the like it's a form they could just put their information in and fill out. So that is. Yeah.
Is there a telephone number they can call?
Definitely not. There'll be no calling me. No, we only doing the email and snail mail. The jails are the ones that are able to write through the letters, and then we only deal through email or Facebook Messenger, whatever. But no, there's no phone call.
Okay, audience, you can if you want to connect with Andy Williams Jr. Again, he's mentioned the Facebook Messenger. Look up Andy Williams Jr. on Facebook, and you can send him a message that way, or even make a call on. We are now going to be ending this episode. Andy, I thank you for coming on with us. And again, I wish you luck, and I hope and pray that this is a successful mission you're on, because we really need changes in America. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. Okay.
Audience, we are now going to end this episode, and Andy Williams Jr. will be on with us in 2 weeks. What's this, 9th and 7th, 16th and 7th, 23rd. Andy will be back on with us on April 23rd, same time, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And he will be giving us updates on what he's been doing. And again, you can find Andy on Andy Williams Jr., A-U-A-2024. And if you want to volunteer with him, you can fill out the form on his website to perhaps help. Again, Andy, thank you so much for coming on, and we truly appreciate your mission.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.